Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from Britannica.com and WealthyGorilla.com. Couple of guitar questions today. Number one, in which country did the guitar originate? Was that A, Germany, B, Russia, C, India, D, Spain, or E, Japan? The guitar, which country is that from? And question number two, what is the value of the most expensive guitar in the world today? Is it A, $11,000, B, $128,000, C, $1,500,000, D, $2,700,000, or E, $33 million? Most expensive guitar, how much? The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of February 19th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1893, that guitarist Andrés Segovia was born. Segovia was a virtuoso Spanish classical guitarist from Linares, Spain. He was the most important force in reestablishing the guitar as a concert instrument in the 20th century, chiefly through demonstrating its expressive and technical potential. He continued giving concert performances past the age of 90. Segovia, born today, back in 1893. And it was 40 years ago today, 1981, that George Harrison was ordered to pay Abco Music the sum of $587,000 for, quote-unquote, subconscious plagiarism between his song, My Sweet Lord, and the Chiffons' He's So Fine, 1981, today.
They're the in crowd, we're the other ones. It's a different kind of cloth that we're cut from. We let our colors show where the numbers ain't. We're the paint where there ain't supposed to be paint. That's who we are. That's how we roll. The outsiders.
Eric Church's The Outsiders introduces our country music news. It's an article written by Scott Stump on February the 5th, 2021, today.com. Eric Church says Capitol riot prompted him to sing national anthem at the Super Bowl. The country star feels like it's an important time for a patriotic moment. Eric Church would normally have turned down the NFL when the league reached out to see if he was interested in singing the national anthem at this year's Super Bowl. However, the riot at the U.S. Capitol by pro-Trump supporters on January the 6th changed the country music star's traditional stance about performing the national anthem. So this time he said yes. Church performed the Star Spangled Banner in a duet with soul singer Jasmine Sullivan at Super Bowl 55 on Sunday. With what's going on in America, it feels like an important time for a patriotic moment. says the 43-year-old North Carolina native. An important time for unity. The fact that I'm a Caucasian country singer and she's an African-American R&B singer, I think the country needs that. Church 43 said he had avoided it forever because the national anthem is an incredibly hard song to sing. I know I want to play guitar, Church said, and we're keeping it based around the melody. Basically, if I can stay out of her way, we're golden. Church appreciates the symbolism of the duet in a country that remains bitterly divided along political lines, but that's kind of what spoke to me, he said. We're unifying, and it's a time in our country when we have to do that. He also cited the ongoing pandemic as a reason for increased isolation among Americans. I feel like in this country, we've given up the common ground, he said. When I'm at a concert, I'm not thinking about how many people there are, Republicans or Democrats, but that's how you win elections. You have to create the division to rile up a base. And because of COVID, we've lost the things that used to unite us. Concerts, sporting events, trips to Vegas with the boys. I can tell you from the concert standpoint, the longer we go without people being able to put their arms around the person next to them and have a moment of communion, it gets more tenuous and more dangerous. And I think the reality of that is what happened at the Capitol. The mass COVID-19 vaccination effort underway now across the country has given Church hope that better times are ahead. The vaccine is kind of what it was for me, not just the vaccine, but the implementation, he said. I watch the daily count obsessively, and nothing's going to happen till we get it in arms. But now we're starting to see a plan going forward that looks effective, looks like it's going to work. And that, of course, was a little bit because of the change of presidents. Somebody asked me if I'd take the vaccine. I said I'd take it in the eyeball to go strap on a guitar. Chick Corea's Windows opens our jazz music news. It's an obit. Chick Corea, jazz pianist who expanded the possibilities of the genre, dead at 79. Keyboardist helped Miles Davis usher in the fusion revolution and founded his own game-changing groups, including Return to Forever. This is written by Hank Steamer, Rolling Stone magazine, on the 11th of February, 2021. The virtuosic keyboardist, who broadened the scope of jazz during a career spanning more than five decades, died on Tuesday from a rare form of cancer. Corea was 79. Thoughtful his life and career, Chick relished in the freedom and the fun to be had in creating something new and in playing the games that artists do, his family wrote in a statement. Through his body of work and the decades he spent touring the world, he touched and inspired the lives of millions. Chick Corea was the single greatest improvisational musician I've ever played with, John Mayer, who had appeared with Corea on stage, wrote on Instagram. Nobody was more open, more finely tuned to the moment, changing his approach with every new offering by the musicians around him. If he hit a wrong note, he'd immediately pick it up and play it as a motif so as to say, all of this has value, whether you see it or not. What an immeasurable loss in so many ways. In the early 60s, Corea established himself as an A-list pianist, working with Stan Getz, Herbie Mann, and others. Later in the decade, he joined Miles Davis's band and played a key role in helping the trumpeter make the transition to a more contemporary, plugged-in sound on albums like Bitches Brew. Following his work with Davis, he formed his own groundbreaking electric band, Return to Forever, which played some of the most vibrant and dynamic music of the fusion era. In the ensuing decades, Correa threw himself into countless projects, showing off his limitless range, from a refined duo with vibraphonist Gary Burton to his transcending electric band. His most recent album, the 2020 live solo disc Plays, showed off his wildly diverse skill set and body of influences, touching on classical pieces, bebop, and more. I want to thank all of those along my journey who have helped keep the music fires burning bright, he wrote via his family on Facebook. It is my hope that those who have an inkling to play, write, perform, or otherwise, do so. If not for yourself, then for the rest of us. It's not only that the world needs more artists, it also is just a lot of fun. And to my amazing musician friends who have been like family to me as long as I've known you, it has been a blessing and an honor learning from and playing with all of you. My mission has always been to bring the joy of creating anywhere I could, and to have done so with all the artists that I admire so dearly. This has been the richness of my life. The song Windows, which opened this article, is one of the most popular ones by Chick Corea. It first appeared on Stan Getz's 1967 album, Sweet Rain, of which Corea was an accompanist. It has become a jazz standard.
I'd like to thank the NFL, especially my Chiefs. You gave me something to smile about. Yeah, you saved my sanity. Well, I know it's just a game, but it really pulled me through. So I just want to thank you. Football, thank you.
Melissa Etheridge's Football Thank You introduces our pandemic adjustment music. It's entitled Melissa Etheridge Coped with Music and Connected with Fans After Son's Overdose. Very healing. After losing her son to an opioid overdose last May, Melissa Etheridge turned to music. This is written by Jeff Nelson on February the 4th, 2021, in People magazine. The Grammy and Oscar-winning rocker had already been performing daily live stream concerts from her office during the pandemic. But when her 21-year-old son Beckett succumbed to a years-long battle with opioid addiction, she started a new project. I said, I'm going to go out in the garage and I'm going to change that into a studio. It took about 4 weeks to build it all, says the singer-songwriter who launched her at-home streaming service, Etheridge TV, in June. The project gave Etheridge purpose in one of the darkest times of her life. Performing during the pandemic and connecting with fans has been very healing for me, she says. Through the subscription-based streaming service, Etheridge airs 5 live shows weekly, a cover show, a chat show, Mama's choice of her own music, and a behind-the-scenes look at old concerts and videos. It's fun, Etheridge says. I really enjoy interacting with the fans. There are people who have been alone for 8 months that watch us 5 days a week that we connect with, and it does as much for me as it does for them. And even after the pandemic ends, Etheridge thinks it will continue. Etheridge TV is probably something we'll do even after I go back on the road. We'll take it with us, she says. We'll find a way to stay connected. Fraser's Lover Girl introduces our R&B music news. It's a review of Aaron Fraser's album, Introducing. It's given 4 out of a possible 4 stars. Published in The Week magazine on the 22nd of January, 2021. Aaron Fraser simply had to go solo at some point, said Timothy Monger in AllMusic.com. The drummer for Duran Jones and the Indications won a lot of hearts when the band released Is It Any Wonder, a 2016 track that showcases Fraser's honeyed falsetto, and producer Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys turned out to be one of the song's instant fans. Unlike many soul revival projects, the 12-song set the pair have come up with resorts to rote imitation, thanks to top-notch arrangements and songcraft. Every tune fits the 60s, 70s vibe, but Fraser and Auerbach load them with memorable melodies. Curtis Mayfield and Marvin Gaye will come to mind in Bad News. While Frankie Valli lives on in the glorious opener, You Don't Want to Be My Baby, said Mark Kennedy in the Associated Press. One spin and you'll be spellbound. Fraser and Auerbach have made revival soul worthy of Motown and Stax. It is music to dance to, drive to, cook to in 2021, starting with the coolest of highs. And this has been Lover Girl from that Aaron Fraser album titled Introducing, playing in the background right now. And in pop music news, we have this album review by Mark Kennedy, Associated Press, published on the 1st of February on 2021. It's entitled Pentatonics Evolve with New Cool Material. It's called Pentatonics, The Lucky Ones is the name of the album. There's a new Pentatonics album, which leads to the question, didn't we already have Christmas? And the answer, yes, this isn't a Christmas set, despite the huge snowball on the album's cover. The Lucky Ones marks the group's first full-length original album in 6 years. It's extremely well-produced, veering more to mainstream, radio-friendly pop than their self-titled debut album. It shows a maturing sound independent of Christmas and popular covers of such songs as Jolene and Imagine. Happy Now is exuberant fun, and the title track is super, when the five voices thrillingly meld. The album has many textures, from the intimate It's Different Now to the soaring arena-ready Love Me When I Don't and Never Gonna Cry Again. It's also nice to hear Maldonado increasingly take lead vocal duties. Think of it like a nice post-Christmas present. A Xenth computerized reproduction of Art Tatum playing T for Two introduces our local music news. It's an article published in the News and Observer by Zachary Eanes on February 12, 2021, entitled This North Carolina Home with a Concert Hall Lists for $1.5 million and Catches Twitter's Attention. Raleigh. To say John Q. Walter, a Raleigh-based tech entrepreneur, is obsessed with live music would be an understatement. He spent years and millions of dollars made from selling his software startup to craft the perfect performance space in his own home, one that would be fit for the great performers of the classical music world, like Richard Wagner, Sergei Rachmaninoff, and Glenn Gould. In fact, he traveled to Richard Wagner's home in Germany to study and copy how the composer made the perfect home audio experience before speakers and microphones existed. But now he's prepared to part ways with it. The home, which in addition to the concert hall has five bedrooms and a lap pool, is for sale for just shy of $1.5 million. But everything has changed in the past year because of the coronavirus pandemic, he told the News and Observer this week in a phone interview. He hasn't hosted a concert there since last March. The pandemic is a big reason why he's selling his house. Walker's home joins a raft of other million-dollar homes on the real estate market in Wake County. Homes breaching the seven-figure mark are becoming more and more common as the Triangle's economy grows and the region becomes a destination for transplants for more expensive cities. But most of those don't have a feature like a world-class concert hall. For that reason, the house even found its way to the Zillow Gone Wild Twitter account, which has capitalized on people's recent fascination with real estate listings during the pandemic. For those in the know, the concert hall tucked away inside of a home in a neighborhood near Falls Lake is considered one of the best places to perform and record music in the country. It's been well known in the jazz and classical music community for 20 years, Walker told the News and Observer in a phone interview this week. People would come and spend a week, you know, work on an album. Jazz musician Branford Marcellus, who has a home in Durham, has been a frequent guest. Walker said he understands he likely won't recoup the full value of a performance space like this. The circle of people who value the audio quality provided by the room are few and far between. Every inch of the performance space was stressed over. The walls are more than a foot thick, and it has its own climate control with an HVAC system designed to be silent. The wood is all solid cherry or maple, specifically chosen for its acoustical properties. It can seat at least a few dozen people. And the artistic chandelier hanging from its high ceiling? It appeared in the 2002 James Bond movie, Die Another Day. Walker is one of more successful Triangle-based tech entrepreneurs of the last three decades. He has a doctorate from UNC Chapel Hill in computer science, and he worked at IBM in the 1990s developing high-speed networks for the computing giant. After selling the company he started, Zenph, Z-E-N-P-H that's spelled, a company that combined his expertise in software and a lifelong love for piano performances. Walker earned an undergraduate degree in piano from Southern Illinois University, by the way. Zenph, which was built at his North Raleigh home, used software that digitized notes from famous jazz and classical performances. It could then play those same performances on a computer-controlled piano, copying the nuances of the original performances that may only have been preserved on subpar recording devices. The company used the software to record new albums of performances by jazz artist Art Tatum, as well as Gould and Rachmaninoff. Performed on the computer-controlled piano at his North Raleigh home, the thought was that the end result would be more true than having another person try to interpret old performances. Zenph had contracts with some of the major recording studios, but it eventually closed after the Great Recession and a downturn in the music industry sunk its fortunes. And this has been Art Tatum's St. Louis Blues Zenph recording playing in the background right now. And T for two. So how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions about guitars? Well, the answer to our first question, in which country did the guitar originate? Was that A, Germany, B, Russia, C, India, D, Spain, or E, Japan? Britannica notes that this plucked stringed musical instrument most probably originated in, correct answer, D, Spain, early in the 16th century, deriving from the guitarra latina, a late medieval instrument with a wasted body and four strings. The early guitar was narrower and deeper than the modern guitar, with a less pronounced waist. It was closely related to the violada, the guitar-shaped instrument played in Spain in place of the lute. A fifth course of strings was added before 1600. By the late 18th century, a sixth course was added. Before 1800, the double courses were replaced by single strings tuned E, A, D, G, B, E, still the standard tuning. And the answer to our second question, what is the value of the most expensive guitar in the world today, was at A, $11,000, B, $128,000, C, $1,500,000, D, $2,700,000, or E, $33 million. Well, as Matt McIntyre notes in an article titled The 10 Most Expensive Guitars in the World, published in WealthyGorilla.com, the title of The Most Expensive Guitar in the World goes to the Reach Out to Asia Fender Stratocaster, which sold for $2.7 million in 2015. McIntyre states that this guitar was the result of Brian Adams' Reach Out to Asia product, which was set up to help the victims of the 2004 Indian Ocean earthquake and tsunami, which killed an estimated 230,000 people across 14 countries. The guitar is unique because it has some of the most famous rock star signatures inscribed all over its body. It was signed by a total of 19 artists and features signatures from Jimmy Page, Mick Jagger, Eric Clapton, Keith Richards, Brian May, David Gilmour, Jeff Beck, Liam Gallagher, Angus, and Malcolm Young and Brian Adams. It seems like, as with most memorabilia or collectibles, previous owners, significant dates and events, and unique custom designs play a massive part in their valuation. With guitars, it's certainly more to do with who's played, performed, and recorded with them than anything else. So let's close out with Peter Frampton's Sweet Liberté. Today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words: kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. Content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long. Until next time.